I want to offer a special, special welcome on behalf of the Salish Sea CUPS. It's a ministry team of East Shore. CUPS is forming a chapter of the Covenant of Unitarian Universalist Pagans. That's what CUPS means. Their purpose is to promote acceptance and understanding of pagan and earth-based spirituality as a spiritual path for Unitarian Universalists. We are honored that they are part of the service today, and we thank them for offering us an introduction to paganism and for building beautiful altars. When you get a chance, when they give the go-ahead, please take time and visit the altars. They are powerful. They are beautiful. This is how we express our theological diversity. This is how we embrace all the sources that give us inspiration and nourish our spirit. So thank you especially to Leanne, to Chris, to all the CUPS members, to Cecilia and her family, and to everyone who built an altar today. Those are treasures, and we know they are important to you, and to share them in public is such a gift and a blessing. So thank you. Thank you so much. Little altars everywhere. I grew up in a household with little altars literally everywhere. Everywhere you looked, on a windowsill, on top of the dresser, everywhere there was something that signified someone had taken the time to intentionally place a rock, a flower, a photograph, a book of poetry, salt, a picture of a loved one. That was a special spot that I could recognize. A space open for transformation. A space where there was a dynamic energy, where one would place an offering and express gratitude for what we received. Healing, answer to our prayers, consolation, maybe just a time and a space to open our hearts and let our minds go to those places that maybe are a little scary, or things that weigh heavy in our hearts, where we just need to ground ourselves to think, or maybe to have a space of calm and tranquility, away from the worries of the everyday, the pressures, the anxiety, where we just had to bring our whole selves, where we could lay our burdens down, where we could contemplate a single candle and see our whole lives before us. I learned that those little spots had power, that they were sacred, that they were sources of strength. These everyday altars reminded me that I was not alone. The altars changed according to the seasons or the particular needs. Each saint had a particular area of expertise. I won't name them all because there are hundreds. But the most visible ones, and the ones that bring me closer to my ancestors, especially my grandmother and my great-grandmother, San Martín de Porres, guardian of the household, protector of our animal companions, always sweeping with the broom that cleans, that makes a path where there is no path, that broom that signifies that the obstacles, no matter how big, can be swept away. He was the guardian of our household, so his image was always on the back of the front door. Saint Jude, the saint of the impossible, when you tried every prayer, when you tried every incantation, when everything seems to be impossible, we lit a candle to St. Jude, asking for help. St. Anthony, oh my goodness. We invoked St. Anthony's name a lot because he helped you find things that were lost. Whether it was your car keys, your purse, or your dreams, he would help you find that which you thought was lost forever. Saint Christopher, my son's middle name. Saint Christopher, to ensure a safe journey when traveling. Virgen de Guadalupe, Mother of the Americas, Mother and guide of all migrants. We are all her children. And she says, fear not. Am I not here? I am your mother, and I am on this journey with you. You are never alone. Later in life, I began building community altars. When our communities were being ravaged by the AIDS epidemic, it was the same time that I moved to Boston, where I worked in the AIDS Law Clinic, and later at the Latino Health Institute. There was so much death, so many funerals, so many families that couldn't find consolation, couldn't find compassion, because churches turned away from them and from their children. They were shunned. They were rejected. They discarded their children, and some of them refused to even hold funeral rites. And so we opened up our office. That was the first community altar I ever did. It was in my tiny little office, and I remember using those big old computers. That became an altar. We just put a nice cloth over it and invited people to come and bring whatever was of significance to them, whether it was pictures or flowers, candles. We spent hours making paper flowers in silence, allowing people to cry, allowing people to remember their loved ones, to pray in their own way, in their own language, to their own saints and their own divinities. And we laughed and we shared stories. And that was the power of the community altar. It wasn't an individual thing anymore. It was a communal practice, and it was healing. For the first time, those mothers could say, my son was not sinful. My son will not be punished for eternity. My son, my daughter, my children were good and kind, and we lost them too soon because the government doesn't care to find a cure. So we gathered around the paper flowers. We gathered to light candles, to remember and to call out the names. And in response, we said, presente, which means they are here. They are still with us. As long as we remember them, their love and their spirit will never disappear. So these community altars became a tradition that I brought with me wherever I went. Building community altars offers us the opportunity to share stories, to make meaning, to grieve, and to rebuild and reimagine our lives. Altars can also be celebratory, to mark the seasons, to express our joy and gratitude for all the blessings we have received over the years. We receive them from our ancestors. We receive them from Mother Earth, from the universe, from our friends, from our families, from our communities. Sometimes the altar is very elaborate, and it takes days and many hands to put it together. Sometimes it's just a handful of seeds or seashells or sea glass or driftwood. Sometimes it's a little bowl of water with a miniature mermaid in it to remind us of the power of the ocean. of the female power that inhabits the oceans and the deep, that brings us that salt water, that reaffirms that when we cry those salt tears, we are not alone. She is guarding over us, the mother of the oceans. We are all her children. Sometimes it's the framed picture of my grandmother on top of a crochet doily that is falling apart, yellow and frayed, next to her favorite yellow roses. When I set up that special spot, even the most humble altar emanates a special energy. You can feel it. I can feel it. I know I felt it when I came in and Cecilia shared with me the meaning of every single thing and person that she is honoring. I could feel those goosebumps because the spirit was moving. An altar can be a source of hope. A prayer made from paper flowers and the light of a candle, an altar can help me connect with my quiet self, to practice mindfulness, and sometimes the Tibetan spiritual practice of Tonglen. Pema Chodron describes Tonglen practice as visualizing, taking in the pain of others with every breath we take and sending out whatever will benefit them on the out-breath. So doing this breathing meditation is very significant. There is that dynamic of give and take. We are offering breath. We are offering peace into the world. And we are taking in peace and love from the world. So now I want us to do that little practice of Tonglen for just one round. If we can take a couple of deep breaths to ground ourselves. Take a couple of deep breaths to awaken our compassion, to broaden our view of who we are. This Tonglen can be for someone who is suffering right now. If you have a loved one who is suffering, who is ill, who is in need of healing and of strength. Anyone who is in pain of any kind. Let us practice giving and receiving compassion, beginning with ourselves. Please join me in reciting. May I be filled with loving kindness. May I be well. May I be peaceful and at ease. May I be whole. Now let us turn our attention to each other. Maybe you want to look to your left, to your right. Notice your neighbor. And let us recite together. May you be filled with loving kindness. May you be well. May you be peaceful and at ease. May you be whole. And now, let us join all of us. May we be filled with loving kindness. May we be well. May we be peaceful and at ease. May we be whole. Let us take a couple of breaths. That was kind of building an altar in your heart. Something ephemeral that comes and goes with the breath. It's not meant to be the same and last forever. It's like a spiritual practice that you come back to again and again as we rebuild hope, as we strengthen our connection to nature, to our ancestors, to each other, and to our own selves. We build the altar carefully, intentionally, gently, piece by piece as we build our own inner landscapes, piece by piece, prayer by prayer, candle by candle. Doing this in community all together offers us the opportunity to reflect on our own idea of the divine, our own connection to energies, to power, to a sense of strength and belonging. How fortunate we are to belong to a community of faith that encourages us to be curious, to go outside of your comfort zone, to explore and learn as much as you can about spiritual practices that might bring more beauty, more peace, more loving kindness into our world. Ultimately, for me, building an altar is an embodied way of praying, a way to focus my attention, to concentrate, to dedicate that moment, that breath, that rose, and that candle to sending loving kindness to anyone who needs it. Today, I am grateful for this community and for all the ways that we bring healing and loving kindness to the world, to our families, and to ourselves. I am grateful that we acknowledge that we need one another to heal and to find meaning in our days. We need each other and the love and support of community in order to grow and nourish our souls. I'm grateful for rituals and practices that affirm that there is power in meditation, in prayer, just as there is power in community building. If you're new to Unitarian Universalism, you can find in our gray hymnal, this one, in the front, the many sources of inspiration that make up our spiritual practices. And they include direct experience of that transcending mystery and wonder affirmed in all cultures, which moves us to the renewal of the spirit and an openness to the forces that create and uphold our lives. It includes wisdom from the world's religions, which inspire us in our ethical and spiritual life. And it also includes spiritual teachings of earth-centered traditions, which celebrate the circle of life and instruct us to live in harmony with the rhythms of nature. Thank you to all the altar builders. And you might be an altar builder and not even know it. But I know so many people go out on hikes, nature walks, a walk on the beach, and sometimes you bring back a rock, a pine cone, a twig, a seashell. Maybe you found some sea glass or a feather. And you bring it back to your home and you place it maybe on your dresser, on the piano, on the windowsill. And later on you look at it and you remember the vast ocean, the beauty of the mountains, the amazing, amazing world and universe that we are part of. I would say that's an altar and a special sacred spot as well. So whether you build with actual objects or whether you build with dreams and prayers from your heart, I would encourage you to keep up that spiritual practice, whatever helps you to ground yourself, to feel connected to Mother Earth, to yourself, and to the world. Amen.